welcome to Haunt Weekly.
Everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And happy Monday, happy Monday, happy birthday to me.
Yes.
Yes, happy birthday to me.
Screw you. It's all about you.
Yes, it is. Damn right. But yes, indeed, when this podcast goes live on Monday, August 13th, it will indeed be my birthday. I'll be turning 38. Mm-hmm. I will probably be drinking heavily, wondering where the years went.
I think you've been doing that all weekend.
Well, I haven't done the latter part yet. actually, I haven't done the first part either, really.
Not a whole lot. We've been busy.
Yeah, we've been a little busy. So, yeah, we'll get onto that in 1 second. But if you want to send any well wishes to me, please feel free to do so at Twitter, Haunt Weekly, and at Facebook at Haunt Weekly. I'd love to hear your happy birthday wishes and whatever, and I'll give you a big like at the very least. I promise to do that. I'm very, very...
I'm a
generous God. I know.
Yeah. I said guy, you said God.
No, I'm a generous God.
Okay,
but anyways, yes, Haunt Weekly, Twitter, and Facebook. We are also at hauntweekly.com. That is our main website. tinyurl.com/hauntweekly whisks you away to our YouTube channel where all the previous episodes are available for simplified listening in the YouTube player. Finally, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever finer podcasts are distributed, we are there as well. And yes, indeed, if we seem a bit loopy, if we seem a bit off, it isn't just the birthday celebrations that have overwhelmed us.
No.
My day job has a major project with a deadline coming up next week.
Yeah.
And we have literally been working nonstop on it.
Yes.
So much so that it's Sunday when we're recording this and we kind of go, oh yeah, Haunt Weekly. It's one of those weeks.
Well, yeah, because we've put in a lot of hours on it the past...
I think we put in about 20 hours of the past 2 days.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Now, and then to be fair, this is us tagging in and out on this. This is a project that requires us going through some large documents, and the easiest way to parse it has been hour shifts, roughly.
Yeah, it's tedious.
It's tedious, it's boring, it's mind-numbing. I want to talk about some haunted house crap now. That's fine.
That's what we're doing.
All right.
Well, we are taking an hour break to do this.
Yes. We are generous gods.
No, we're just workaholics, because this is also work.
Yes. Hey, at least I didn't bust out in the country roads randomly again.
Oh, God.
Again.
Yeah.
That's been the new meme around here. So start doing that. Okay, let's stop talking about memes. Let's talk about conference reminders and kick that off. And unfortunately... I know you're the oddball you started, but actually I want to talk about the first one on the reminders.
That's fine.
Because it's not actually a conference reminder. It's unfortunate news.
Right.
We did finally get official word that Halloween and Haunt Fest has been canceled. It would have been the very next reminder on the list. It would have been the first one.
Right.
It was supposed to be August 16th to the 19th, next weekend. But it will not be happening. The word comes not from the official group, but from the hotel that has said they will not be hosting the event. It is a very, very sad thing to be, very sad thing. As we all know, the untimely passing of the show's founder has thrown things into disarray. And it's nothing to say here, really, but if you are going to be in Austin anyways,
Dallas area.
Ah, damn it. If you're going to be in Dallas area anyways, Dark Hour and Fear Phobia have said they will be honoring the tickets.
Right.
And they also will have tickets available at the door, so... If you weren't going to go, but have changed your mind and decided you want to go, they both have tickets available at the door for you. Definitely worth checking out. We have actually shared the post about all this on our Haunt Weekly on Facebook, so you can check out there if you need details. Also, Dark Hour will be having a swap meet on the 18th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And I read from a couple of the vendors as I was doing searches for this episode that a couple of the vendors will be at the swap meet. Making it a hybrid exhibition swap meet thing, it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's not exactly consolation, I admit it, But it's something pretty cool. And I just want to say, on a personal note, to the team at Halloween and Hauntfest, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for all that you've done. You have been put in an impossible situation. You guys, all of you, have handled it with amazing grace and tact, and you have done your very, very best. And I know that this is a very difficult time for you, not just the loss of a good friend, but seeing what's going on with the conference and dealing with that uncertainty. My heart goes out to you guys. Thank you for all that you have done and will do. That is all. Okay, now you may continue with the actual conference reminder list. We happier things.
Okay, so August 18th, it's going to be the Haunters Barbecue in Jackson, New Jersey. It is put on by the Jersey Devil Haunted Experience. Tickets are $15 in advance. JerseyDevilHalloween.com. I've seen recent posts about this. They are getting ready. It looks like it's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, this is actually looking to be far bigger and more awesome than I originally pictured it. I just wanted to make a local... What? I mean, okay.
Did you think it was just going to be a barbecue in a backyard?
No, not necessarily that, but you say Haunters Barbecue, I think of a get-together, because, you know, Haunts, like, you're going to get a few hundred people, probably. You know what I mean? You're going to get a lot of people, because Haunts have pretty big staffs. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, it's looking like it's going to shape up to be a really, really big deal, so... I don't know, man. If I were in New Jersey, I'd be paying some attention to this.
Yeah.
Anywhere nearby. All right. After that, August 24th through the 26th in Indianapolis, Indiana, it's Mask Fest, the JW Marriott in Indianapolis. Features mask makers and makeup artists of all types, including the legendary Tom Savini. Maskfest at allonword.com for more details.
Okay, then.
New edition!
I was saying it.
No, I'm saying it!
I know!
Yeah.
All right. So, newly added.
You're so drunk off work.
August 24th.
Should be drunk off of.
August 24th through the 26th in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's CreepyCon Halloween and Horror Convention. World's Fair Exhibition Center. Features workshops, exhibitors, and a zombie beauty contest. CreepyConKnoxville.com for more info.
Yeah, it looks really, really cool and some interesting workshops. There was one I noticed about... baby skull painting.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. It just seemed like a mildly... It was an hour thing, so it wasn't like this big, huge workshop.
Right.
But it just seemed interesting.
Yeah.
I can see taking that.
Yeah.
I've taken weirder things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're going to the Oddities and Curiosities
Expo here in New Orleans. Yeah.
Which isn't on our list because it's not quite, but it's adjacent, it's...
Yeah, we always struggle with what do we put in... versus what we do to leave out. Because there's a lot of, like, horror conventions and so forth that aren't on this list.
Right.
And it's just because they don't have anything that seems to directly appeal to haunters, though haunters often love horror, and so the overlap is huge.
Yeah.
But we're trying to... If we did that, we'd have an hour-long podcast of conferences.
Yeah.
But anyways. In Lexington, Kentucky, September 14th through the 16th, and it's Scarefest at the Lexington Convention Center. Guests include Cassandra Peters, Elvira, Jabob Briggs of Monster Vision, and Sid Haig of Captain Spaulding. TheScareFest.com for more details.
Okay, November 9th and 10th. After season.
Note.
Yes. It is going to be Dark History and Horror Con in Champaign, Illinois.
Yes.
At the Garden Hotel
at Urbana. I don't know where Champaign is either. Only more.
Tickets are just $20 for the weekend or $10 per day. Includes a film festival. And you can find out more at dhhcon.com.
Looks like they have a lot of good potential exhibitors there that might be good. All right. November 9th and 10th. In Salt Lake City, Utah, it is the Legendary Haunt Tour meeting up at the Holiday Inn Express. It's not actually being hosted there. It's a tour. You're on a bus. It's, you know,
just get on the bus.
But you can't say it's located on a bus. That doesn't work good. So anyways, they'll be touring Nightmare on 13th Street, Fear Factory, and others to be announced. Legendary Haunt Tour for more information. .com for more information.
January 25th through the 27th. It is HauntCon Halloween and Party Expo right here in New Orleans at the Ernest N. Morial Convention Center. Also featuring us in some capacity. We'll let you know whenever we get there.
Details of our involvement, TBA.
Yeah. HauntCon.com.
Yeah, let us get through goddamn season before we figure that out, all right?
Yeah. Yes, by the way, your reminder keeps popping up on our work computer for the weekend.
Yes, I know. To apply to that. We've been busy. We have been crazy busy with this. And I've learned more about child development than I ever needed to.
No kidding. But there was a whole section about having multiple parents. Not just two. More than two parents.
I'll have to check that out.
Yes.
All right. Well, anyways. So, with all that, we didn't have a lot of time to do big research and show notes and things like that. We did show notes, but... So the main thing we wanted to do is we wanted to do something that was still fairly quick for us and useful. And then we realized something. It was really interesting. We were trying to talk about what we wanted to do on this podcast. And Crystal looked at me and said, "Do we ever do a podcast about what makes a good haunt?" And I'm like, "No, I thought that was every podcast." But she's right. We didn't actually talk to this point. So then I thought to myself, "Hey, you remember that book, 7 Habits of Highly Successful People?" Yeah, don't worry. I didn't read it either.
Yeah.
I'd probably be more successful if I had. Who knows? But anyways, it sounded like a cool way to phrase this and frame this. And this whole episode is based upon our experience solely as customers to haunts.
Right.
We go typically to well north of, sometimes approaching 2 dozen haunts a year.
Yeah.
We've done hundreds of haunts.
Yeah.
Now all across the country. We can say across the country.
Yeah.
We've got to hit something on the West Coast, though, to really make that statement.
We've
done a pretty good spread here. We've got a pretty good spread going. And so basically what we want to do is talk about the things that separate the haunts that we really, really loved and have very fond memories of from the haunts that we were either meh about or just actively, you know, hating.
Yeah.
On. Not many of the ones we hate, I admit, but still, you know, it's important to separate it out.
Right.
But most importantly, when compiling this list, we wanted to omit things that were about size or budget.
Yeah.
The idea here is we wanted a list that absolutely every haunt could follow, whether they were a home haunt in a garage or a big mega haunt with hundreds of thousands of square feet somewhere.
Yeah.
And multi-million dollar budgets and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. So we wanted it to be available to everyone. And I think we've got a pretty decent list.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of happy with this, the way this turned out. I better be. We're about to talk about it for 40 minutes or so.
Yeah.
All right. So, habit one, be safe.
Yeah.
And it should be, by the way, said that we've discussed all these points at some point in various episodes in the past.
Right.
But I don't think we've discussed them all together. In fact, I know we haven't.
Yeah.
So, habit one, be safe. All right. I know we sound like a goddamn broken record here.
Yep.
But an unsafe haunt is automatically the worst kind of haunt. You could have the best actors, the best sets, the best scares, the best everything. But if you were actively putting your customers in danger or injuring them or specifically injuring me,
yeah,
you are immediately the worst haunt I've ever been to. Worst haunt ever in the moment.
Right. Well, and the thing is if it is actively unsafe versus feels unsafe,
right,
then... you're going to spend more time worrying about your actual safety than letting your guard down and enjoying the haunt.
Yeah, we've used the analogy of the roller coaster a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When I get into a roller coaster, I am comforted by the engineering and the precision of everything. And I mean, unless, you know, you get on one of them wooden roller coasters with like termites and crap in it, you don't want that. Don't get on that roller coaster.
Yes, if it's actively falling down, don't get on it.
Don't get on it. That's a pro tip right there. Jonathan Bailey, State Fair pro tips.
Oh, my God.
But yes, but you know, you know that it's physically safe and that you're going to make it around to the other side.
Yeah.
But it feels dangerous as all hell.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just it. You're not actually sweating real danger. You're enjoying simulated danger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference between the danger we enjoy and the danger we... don't enjoy.
Right.
You know, even people who love going to haunted houses, you know, don't like being threatened with a knife.
Right.
Radical idea.
Yeah. I also don't like it when I have to watch where I'm walking more than just walking.
Yeah.
Then I can't look around.
Or dodging, you know, thorn bushes or sharp edges and haunts that things you have to press through. Or, God help me, once a screw that was sticking through something. And
yeah.
Things like that. You know, once you get into the mindset of, hey, I could actually be hurt,
mm-hmm.
you're focusing more on the real danger than the simulated danger. And real danger isn't fun.
No.
I mean,
not.
unless you're like one of the, unless you're like bungee jumping or something. And I guess, I guess those are real dangers. But even then, it's still simulated danger because you got a rope.
Yeah.
No, it's simulated danger come real danger in a hurry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because why would bungee jumping is real fun until the cord breaks.
Yeah. Or the math is wrong.
Or the math is wrong, yes. One or the other. Either way, then it's not fun anymore.
Yeah. I'm not doing that math.
No, you're not. No, you are not. If anyone's life or physical health is online due to math, don't let Crystal do it.
And At least not without paper.
And if ever you need someone's life or physical well-being is online due to estimation, doubly don't let Crystal do it. Especially if it's a distance estimation. She's good at short distances. No, I love you. Throwing Crystal in the bus real bad this week.
No kidding.
Sorry. Like I said, long weekend. I'm going to blame it on that.
It's about to get longer. Oh, God.
All right. But yeah, basically, the idea is this. You're supposed to be scary without endangering people. If you can't do that, for the sake of the industry, close your doors.
Yeah.
You're going to get people hurt. You're going to get people killed. And that's going to hurt absolutely everybody in the haunt industry.
Yeah.
Nobody wins when that happens.
Nope.
All right. Habit two. Have a great pre-visit experience.
Yeah.
This is one of those things that I think the industry as a whole really does struggle with.
I would agree with that.
And we've done several episodes about pre-visit experience stuff, including the one we did about websites and the ones we did about online ticketing. And
right.
Like we've covered a lot of this ground. But yeah, this is bringing it together. Basically, everything about the moment I first learn about your haunt to the time I arrive to it should be a good experience. That should mean I'm able to gather... The promotional material gets me excited.
Mm-hmm.
I gather the needed information I want.
Yeah.
I'm able to do any communication I need to do.
Right.
And I may be able to buy the tickets online in a smooth and reasonable way.
Right.
So, yeah. The whole experience before there. If you start upsetting customers before they get there...
Right.
You're trying to dig yourself out of a hole.
Yeah.
You're trying to build a skyscraper and starting 30 feet into the earth.
Yeah.
You know, it's difficult.
It is. I would also say that being able to find you falls into this category. Because if I search for haunts in blah, blah, blah area, I expect you to pop up.
Yeah, I know we talked about those directories.
Yeah.
It's worth being in them, even as a free person.
Yeah.
Because that way, you can at least be seen.
Yeah.
And that will help, in most cases, with your SEO. In one case we mentioned, they might not.
Yeah.
Go back to that episode if you want to cover that. But yeah, the long and short of it is, it should be trivial to find you. It should be trivial to get the information I need from you. The who, what, when, where, how, why, how is what we discussed. And everything should tie together to make a great experience. Every piece of promotional material you put out, your flyer, any ads you have in publications, your radio spots, your TV spots, if you're doing those, if you're taking part of events like parades or whatnot, that should be on point. Everything should converge to send a unified message, if you will.
Yeah.
And that message should then make it easy for them to know what they need to know to get there and to either have ticket in hand or be ready to buy the ticket at the ticket booth.
Yeah.
If you have a disjointed and confusing experience, like that one haunt that was open for all of 2 weeks in New Orleans, the Revelation, but we had no idea what we were going to.
No.
The marketing was disjointed as hell.
Yeah, but there are some good reasons behind that.
Yeah. The haunt was disjointed as hell, too.
Well, yeah, that's because they had a week.
Yeah.
They had exactly 1 week to
build it. I feel very bad for the builders of that because they did their best. And they are not bad builders from what I understand. But yeah, a week, that's not enough time to do anything.
No, not really. Not without lots of planning ahead of time.
Yeah.
And that doesn't seem to be what happened in that case. But also make sure that if you are cash only, people know that before they get to your haunt.
Yeah.
And if you are cash only and there's no ATM near you, invest in one, please.
Yeah.
This has happened.
Yes, it has. Yeah, then it comes down to the whole idea, though, of not placing undue burdens on the customer before they arrive.
Yeah.
When they're inside your haunt, you get to mess with them as much as is appropriate for your haunt.
Right.
But that's the point it starts. Everything up to that point should be you basically paving the road to your door for them.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Literally,
yes.
If you could do like dominoes, fill the potholes on the way to the road. Fill all that in.
Right.
And this is an area, like I said, we struggle as an industry, and I find that we often really had rough patches with this.
Mm-hmm.
Habit 3, when they get there, make sure you have a great queue experience.
Yes.
Now, there's two ways to make a great queue experience. One is to have a great queue. The other is to have a short fucking line.
Yes.
Sorry, there's only two ways.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you either have to have your throughput down to really,
down
really
to
well.
A T and not have a rush of people at any time.
Yes.
And
yes.
Basically nothing go wrong ever.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
So have a good queue. Yeah. Is what it comes down to.
Exactly.
Realistically, have a good queue. Yeah, the wait should be minimal. I mean, even a great queue, spending 45 minutes in it can be rough. We've had that experience before.
Right.
I mean, we were at a one haunt that literally had a burlesque show on one stage, queue actors coming around everywhere, lasers and stuff, and carnival theme.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing queue, but we spent a goddamn hour and a half in it.
Yeah, or more.
Or more, and it still sucks in my mind.
Well, yeah. Well, and the thing was is that the show ended pretty soon after we got there.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like the whole time. But yeah, that's...
Yeah,
that wasn't good.
Yeah, basically speaking, you know, there are limits to what you can do. You still have to have your wait down to a reasonable time. But...
Yeah.
Yeah, one interesting story here with how to start with a bad queue and then build up to a great one, I think, is Rise.
Yeah.
When Rise first opened, their queue was literally a bunch of fence boards on the side of a metal building.
Yeah.
Now, sure, they had some stuff inside the building when you got inside.
Right.
But their inside section, like, did not house as nearly as many people as the outside section.
No, and it still doesn't.
Outside fits
more people than inside.
Yeah, big. This is like a Door the Explorer episode here.
Yes.
But yeah, the outside queue line is where you're going to spend probably 80% of your time, most likely, unless it's a real, real slow night.
Yeah.
And the result of that was you spend about 80% of your queue time staring at a gray metal building in southeast Louisiana in the middle of a field.
Yeah.
And it's just weird and rough. But now, well, first they went through and they sort of added queue actors and some stuff to do outside. And then they added the, they had a mechanical bull for a minute you could watch people fall off on.
Yeah, but they added facade to the outside.
Yeah, then they added the facade, which was the real good move.
Yes.
And then after the facade, they brought in more queue actors doing more things and more interaction. They really drilled down on that. And now they've got 5-minute escape games out there, and those are awesome.
Because you can keep your place in line while you play them.
Yeah.
So
I think the whole thing is pretty brilliant, and that's just it. It's been very incremental.
Right.
But they got to a very, very good place with it now. I've gone from absolutely a boring standing in line at Rise to actually kind of digging it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah. And then there's other strategies. I mean, you can do like the House of Shock bid.
Right.
It feels weird to say that still, where you have the big stage show and you make the queue line just a requisite part of the experience, even though that kills this kills the throughput.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't need to see the show more than once.
Yeah.
And the line did move quite slow. So.
And then you have, like, Mortuary here locally, where they have a small queue area.
Yeah.
And they've been hit and miss with how they've done it.
Well, the thing that's aggravating about Mortuary, and I guess it makes sense from this standpoint, is that if you were in the VIP line, because we've gotten some VIP upgrades,
we miss all of this. Ellie literally gives her blood so we can have VIP upgrades.
Yes, exactly. We miss all of the things that they do to make the queue more bearable.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, you can't even see the regular queue line most of the time that you're in there. I will say that Fright Trail near Lafayette.
Oh, that's probably my favorite queue experience ever.
Exactly.
Actually. Multiple photo ops, lots of really good queue actors.
Also, animatronics that were triggered.
Yeah.
On time triggers.
You could tell they were the animatronics that they had put in the haunt part, but just didn't have a place for now. So right. Screw it, we'll stick in the queue line somewhere.
Exactly.
And it worked.
Yeah.
It bloody worked.
Yeah. Because an actor would come up on one side and distract some people, and the thing would go off, and the people would jump, and it'd be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
Or vice versa. They'd be looking at the thing.
We waited... I don't even know how long we waited in that queue. It was...
And that's a good sign.
It is. It was probably too long, honestly.
Yeah.
But honestly, that was not something I complained about.
Yeah, there was at least 100 people in front of us.
Yeah, it was a good queue experience, Fright Trail. And we're looking forward to going back to Fright Trail this year, actually.
Yeah.
It's on our plan.
It is.
We got a plan we're working on. Maybe we'll do an episode about our haunt plan for the season.
Yeah, after we are able to discuss a little more.
Yeah, we're working on the plan. All right. Number five, habit five.
You skipped habit four.
Well, I'm having to work off my phone because of the project.
Right.
And my phone screen sometimes jumps around. So you got to keep me honest here, okay?
All right.
Habit four, actor-driven, not animatronic.
Yes.
All right. I have never preferred an animatronic to a human. I don't think I ever will.
No.
I've been to several haunts that were very focused on animatronics, The Darkness in St. Louis, and Folklore's Tremulous.
Yeah.
I always wanted to add an end to that. It's Tremulous. It's just Tremulous. It's easy.
Yeah.
And both haunts were worse for it. Now, Folklore had The Manor...
Right.
On the same site, which was their actor-driven. They kind of
took
the peanut butter and the jelly and separated them two haunts.
Right.
But, yeah, The Manor, we loved. We had a great time at The Manor. We thought it was a pretty solid haunt. And Tremulous, we just didn't get. Like, the best scares in Tremulous were all actor-driven animatronics.
Right.
Which...
yeah.
Anyway, I love animatronics. They're great and really well-made ones are impressive and ooh and ah and all that jazz. But yeah, it...
And they can be used effectively.
Yeah.
We're not saying don't use them. We're just saying don't overpopulate your haunt with them.
Well, and the problems with animatronics are, one, they can't react the way humans can.
No.
They can't adjust their timing and they can't do different things.
Yes. They're very predictable.
And part of that problem is... With the way groups space out sometimes, like, we've had this problem, like, we had going back to Fright Trail, it was a problem because the group, people we were supposed to be with kept bailing on us.
Yeah, they were run.
And the result of that, they go into the woods and they set off all the animatronics.
Yeah.
And we would come around just in time to see them finishing their cycle.
Yeah, going back into hiding.
And it's like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, that's problem one. And problem two is just that, you know, people know their animatronics. Even the best made animatronics are known. Go to Disney. You know what the animatronics are.
Yeah.
If you can't beat Disney's animatronics, they're going to be obviously animatronics, and that's okay. That's not a problem. It's just you've got to use them accordingly.
Hmm.
What?
No, I was just thinking it would be cool if you could take the sound that animatronics make whenever they start up. Yes. But put it into a costume for a person.
Huh.
So that it looks like it's an animatronic, but no, it's really a person.
But yeah, I mean, I love animatronics. They're really, really cool, but they are the distract and startle.
Yeah.
Your scares should be human-driven as much as possible, at least human-activated.
Yeah.
As much as possible. And speaking of actors, habit five. Have well-trained and well-focused actors.
Mm-hmm.
You need actors who know when and how to scare. It is that simple. And you got to make sure they don't copy each other's lines.
Right.
Even subconsciously.
Yeah.
We've had this problem in our haunt. We've had to pull a few people aside and go, no.
That's the line
from that room.
Yes. That line does not make sense for you. Don't use it.
That line is in the library, not the laboratory.
Yeah.
Or it's in the library, it's in the laboratory, not, you know. The alien can contain.
Well, and the other thing is that we've been to haunts like that, going back to one you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
They had the 3D clown experience next to it.
Yeah.
And everybody was, come play with me.
Yeah, oh, God. Yeah.
You want to play with me?
Man. Yeah, no, not even. I'm not even going back down that rabbit hole because that.
No, but that was
the only line everyone had.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
there was.
And how many times have we been to a haunt where every actor's get out?
Yeah,
I'm like, that was actually a very good movie. You're right. I appreciate the recommendation.
Yeah, yeah. No, but
don't do
it,
that.
It is something that actors will. Especially if they're not given
and it
a
is
few
subconscious.
Lines.
It's not.
It is.
It's not that
it's
these are bad actors.
Purpose.
It is
no.
subconscious. We all do it.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things we all have to kind of guard ourselves against is doing that. We have to stick to our script and to our lines.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically, you have to be energetic. You have to, and most importantly, I think you have to be able to be adaptive and respond to the unexpected.
Yeah. Because customers are unpredictable. Yeah. They're not animatronics either.
You know, and the way I've always looked at it is give them lines they can say, like to do the scare or whatever, right. to initiate it, but then encourage them to follow up with whatever's appropriate for the group.
Right. And you can go back and listen to the Japes interviews
yes.
for more information on
exactly.
that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Basically, yeah, the ones we have with Japes are great sources of that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and also very important for actors to know when to move on.
Yeah.
Oh, baby Jesus.
Yeah.
Sweet baby Jesus.
Yeah, we, yeah, because here's the thing, is that there have been several haunts that we've gone through with Ellie, and somehow she'll make it to the front.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Given ambulatory nature of the three of us.
Yeah. But somehow it's turned around in line, she's in front, and an actor will step in front of her. Well, this is supposed to be an intimidation technique. But she's like, look, I'm not touching you, I'm not scared, but I'm not moving until you move.
Yeah.
So...
you give up the ghost.
And some people will stand there forever and not let us go.
Yeah. You've got to know when a scare either is done or it's just not going to happen that time.
Yeah.
There's no shame in not being 100%. Shoot for 100%? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But when a scare is falling flat... Get back in your hidey hole, figure out what went wrong, do better next time.
Right. It's also important to know that if someone is too scared,
yeah.
to let them have that breath that they can escape.
Yeah, when and how to scare and when to let go.
It's yeah, because we've
important.
Also been in a situation where we went to a haunt and our friend was terrified on the floor with two... chainsaw-wielding clowns.
They were just wielding chains. It wouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah, chainsaw-wielding clowns around her. And, you know, after a couple of minutes, I'm like, okay, guys, I know this was really funny, but she's actually starting to have a panic attack.
Yeah. and that's the thing. It's like, I get that when you and I go through haunts, even when we do get startled, even when we do get got, so to
yeah.
speak, it's not a huge reaction from us.
No.
We tend to do more of a, you know, recoil type thing than we actually do,
yeah.
flailing around
or,
and stuff.
Good job.
Yeah, and that's what I'll say. Dude, that was great timing. That was good.
Yeah.
That was real good. I'll say things like that. But there are some people that are like, if you don't give them that pop,
yeah.
they're just going to keep coming at you, even though it's not, if it didn't work with a surprise, it's not going to work.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is if you do give them the pop, and they keep coming after you, eventually you're going to, it crosses a line.
Yeah, exactly.
From fun scare to traumatic.
I agree. Yeah, knowing when to move on is important. And that's
yeah.
that's an art that maybe we got to get Japes on that one.
Yeah.
That seems like a Japes topic. But
it does.
But yeah, because when to move on is important, and a lot of haunts don't seem to have that one down.
Yeah.
6, variety of scares.
Yes, please.
Okay, if it's all drop panels, it gets old really goddamn fast.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, I don't like saying anything mean about Midnight Productions and people buying the 13th Gate, but their Louisiana Nightmare, one of the first years we went to it, this was,
mm-hmm.
what was it, like 15 years ago now? 14 years ago?
How long have we been together?
Been together 18 years. Start figuring that out.
So, 17.
No, it would have probably been.
It would have been our first year.
No, but we've been in, we were not in Louisiana at the time. No, I think we did it on a visit, though.
Yeah.
Oh, God, help me. Might have been.
Yeah.
I'll have to email some people and find out when that was open and figure this out. But it was a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And basically, it felt like Louisiana Nightmares was nothing but drop panels.
Right.
Now, they rectified that the next year.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, and I remember going through the haunt going, that's a draw panel, clack.
Well, okay, so the very first one, it was the first time we had ever seen it. And we're like, oh,
that's so cool.
That's
yeah.
cool. And then by the end of it, oh, there's another one.
There's the 40th.
yeah.
Should have asked them what their drop panel building technique was. They obviously found a way to crank them out quickly.
Yeah.
Anyways, but I basically what it comes down to is I should never be able to know what's next. It's important to hit from multiple directions in multiple ways.
Right.
But however, do play with repetition as a way to control expectations.
Yes.
That is a lot of fun. If you go, oh, there's going to be a drop panel here, and it's not a drop panel. It's something from the other way or from above or something else totally yeah. different. It's a dragon or I don't know. Use your imagination. It's something else totally different.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good scare.
Well, I mean, that's the best scare I ever saw at 13th Gate.
Yeah.
It was just a complete mindfuck because you went through one claustrophobia tunnel.
Ooh,
it was a claustrophobia tunnel. You come out into a room. You go into another claustrophobia tunnel. And you come out into a room. And you go into a third one. It's a half size. And then you're surrounded by body parts in the middle of your claustrophobia
tunnel. Some of it's riding around.
Yeah, and some of it's actors. And it was awesome because your mind wasn't prepared for it.
You're like, okay, I'm just going to come out into another dark room?
Yeah.
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 Exactly. Playing with that is a huge asset, and that produced a really good memory for us.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in fact, we tried to do something similar, but set up the expectations with the closet.
Yeah.
You know, because most people, if they see a closet, they know what's going to come after it. But if you're suddenly face to face with a wall of gore and like people coming out of the wall and stuff after you go through the closet, that flips your brain.
It did unsettle some people.
Yes.
All right. Habit 7. Focus on lighting and sound.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the details.
Yeah.
Look, details are great. They're like animatronics.
Yeah.
They're great. I love a really meticulously detailed set as much as the next person. But man, if it's not always possible and it's not always necessary or even beneficial.
Right. And that's something that I think that I didn't understand whenever we first started out was exactly how fast people are going to go through your rooms.
Yeah.
We will sit there and we will take in all the detail. And for the rare customer who is like-minded and who loves haunts, they will take in all of your details. But a lot of times people are just going to go through as fast as they can so that they can say they survived.
Yeah. And if you're scaring people, they're probably going to have their eyes closed or looking in weird directions or whatever.
Right.
And they're going to miss a lot of the detail. But, you know, lighting and sound can actually either accent the detail you do have or hide the lack of it very easily.
Exactly.
Like, we've opened up a couple of years with walls that weren't even painted. We just put them in complete darkness and no one saw them.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one ever noticed they were there.
No.
Well, because if someone ended up in that corner...
Yeah.
We done so good of a job scaring them, they weren't going to care about a little bit of lack of pain.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is like, last year, there was a wall that we put up last minute.
Mm-hmm.
And it was behind a gore box. So, you know, I didn't bother painting half of it because it wasn't going to be seen.
Yeah.
And it was D-Day. Yeah. So.
But yeah, that lighting and sound basically lets you know what's going on. Lets you determine to your customers what they see in the atmosphere.
Right.
Basically, the main trick, though, is to make sure that customers know where they're going.
Yeah.
Lost customers are frustrated customers.
Yeah.
If I turn down an actor run,
mm-hmm.
I immediately have some questions.
Yeah. Anytime we... I know we were going to talk about this, not as haunt owners, but, you know, it is better to be going through a room and being able to see a light where you're supposed to go.
Yeah.
Granted, you can also mess with expectations that way.
Yeah.
Because you can put a bright light near the actual exit and direct them towards a scare.
Yeah.
Also, sound sets up expectation. Think of when you're watching a scary movie, whenever that sound comes on, like Jaws.
Yeah.
You know that he's going to be there, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, but yeah, you got a light for ambiance and to show what you have. Looking at you, Lint Brewery.
Yeah.
I know you've got some detailed sets in there. I couldn't tell you.
Well, I just wanted to see the cave system they were in, and we couldn't see it.
Couldn't see anything.
I know. That was the problem. That and all the freaking gas cans.
Yeah, basically, if you want to simulate Lent Brewery or experience of it, close your eyes and have someone shake a gas can full of rocks 2 feet, 2 inches from your ears for about 25 minutes.
Yeah.
You don't even have to move around that much.
Yeah, that's our memory of it.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
That was a few years back. I don't know if it's changed, but yeah, that was roughly it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but basically this is the deal. You get bigger impact for smaller amounts of time and money by focusing on lighting and sound.
Yeah.
I get wanting to focus on detail. I love detail, like I said.
Right. But if you have time, put it in.
If you got time and the money and the expertise, do it. But if you don't, shift gears, focus on lighting and sound. And even if you do have the detail, you're going to have to focus on lighting and sound anyway.
Right.
You don't get out of it just because you've got a well-detailed haunt.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is if you really detail one section and light it, then everybody's going to be focused on that. They're not going to care what the rest of the room looks like.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Habit 8. Successful haunts don't pad out their runtime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might be cool to say you got a 45-minute haunt, but if 25 minutes of that is a stupid blackout maze, that's not good.
No. No, because you can't set up an expectation like that and then fail to deliver. Because then you're just going to have upset customers.
Yeah. Basically, if you're bragging about the size of their haunt, it needs to feel big and long. But here's the
phrasing.
Thing. God damn it.
I just threw him off. Yes.
I just got phrasing, okay?
Yes.
That never happens. I'm the one that does phrasing.
Yeah. But yes, if you are bragging about the size of your haunt, it needs to feel like it is the size you're bragging to.
And here's the thing. We have been in haunts that felt really long and felt huge.
Yeah.
But we're not actually.
Right.
Don't you phrase me again. I see you wanting to do it.
No.
But anyway, so we've had that experience where we've been through a haunt and it felt huge.
Yeah.
But we look at our watch and it was only 12 minutes.
Yeah.
You can do that. There are ways to do that.
Yeah. And feeling like you're in there for longer than actual is a good thing.
Yeah, and one thing I do love that when people say about our haunt is only about a 2 to 3 minute walkthrough.
Yeah.
People will come out the other side and go, how long were we in there? Just 2 minutes? Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah.
I hear that all the time, and I go, squee.
Yeah. Well, in the back of it, I can't count the number of times I've heard, we're not out yet. It's still going. Oh, my God, it's still going. It's like,
our garage is a TARDIS. It's bigger on the inside.
Yeah.
But basically, you know, the deal is this. It's better to be short and sweet than to add filler to me.
Yeah.
We've had some sub-5-minute haunt experiences, especially like home haunts, that were great.
Yeah.
And we've had 60-plus-minute ones that were terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, which would you rather see? Would you rather see a really good 5-minute Pixar, you know, short...
Yeah.
Or like a 90-minute boring documentary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Which would you rather do? Make every minute of your haunt experience count.
Yeah.
Don't find a way to pad out your time. Make every minute count. Okay, habit 9. Have a really, really, and I need to add another really to this in the show notes, memorable moment.
Yeah.
This, I think, is the big one.
Yeah.
In many ways, in terms of what we think back and what we remember years later, you need to have a moment that pops.
Yeah.
That really gets out there. What will I take away from your haunt forever?
Right.
I mean, Freaks of Fear in Atlanta, we've talked about them before. It was a trail haunt. They were having some actor struggles that night.
Well, I think we got there after closing, technical closing.
I think they actually were packing up because the weather was the problem.
Yeah.
I think we got there during their hours, but the weather was causing
issues. But some of the actors had already
gone. Yeah, exactly. Some of the actors already left. And I'm not saying I blame them. It was a trail haunt.
No.
It had been raining. And it was a weird experience. But anyways, they had the giant bird airplane thing that swooped down on us.
Yeah.
What could have been a fairly forgettable experience now is one of the most memorable ones from Atlanta.
Yeah.
And because they had that moment.
Right.
A big go-home moment.
Yeah. And I can't count the number of places that I've been that they just run into every other haunt because there was nothing memorable. There was nothing that made them special.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we actually have, we've had to go back to our notes on the Atlanta trip a few times.
Right.
To remember what haunt certain things were at.
Mm-hmm.
Because, especially when you're seeing three in a night, and I know that's a little unusual, but, you know, people do go to multiple haunts in a year. And next year, when they're coming around thinking about the haunts they want to go to,
right,
if it all blurs together, you know, if you have a moment that pops, it'll make it make you stand out. And, you know, yeah, it's important to have that tight haunt we were just discussing, but there has to be an OTT moment. There has to be something incredible.
Yeah.
It can be a huge prop. It can be a great scene, but just something memorable.
Yeah. There was one in Atlanta. I don't remember the name of it right now. But they actually had an organ player.
Yes.
That like, first room, they had someone actually playing an organ.
Yes, I remember that, yeah.
And it was like, oh, well, this is classy. You know? But,
yeah.
But I hadn't seen that in...
I think that was a Paranoia, wasn't it?
I don't remember the name.
Anyways, I'll look it up.
I remember the people very
notes.
Well.
We got it in the notes.
We talked to them for several minutes afterwards. But
they're great. They're awesome. But yeah, I mean, give us something to tell our friends about. Give us something to write it, talk about in a review. Just a moment that wows, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like for me, like Netherworld.
Mm-hmm.
The moment there was the giant tree in the forest and the stuff swirling around. And then the tree that got me.
Yeah.
When it moved on me, like I'm sitting there gawking at this giant animatronic thing with projections swirling around it.
Yeah.
And this person in a tree custom just walks right up on me like, oh, you bastard. You bastard! How dare you scare me in a haunted house!
Yeah.
You bastard!
Yeah.
All right. Habit 10, wrapping it up here. And this, to me, is the ultimate rule in haunting, I think. And this is something that a lot of haunters lose sight of. Focus on being entertaining, not on being scary.
Yeah.
It was Japes who said it, I believe.
No.
Who was it?
It was,
Yeah, I'll touch you in a minute.
Yeah.
I really thought I knew who said that.
No.
But anyways, you'll look that up, I'll go on. But basically, you know...
LaFlamboy.
Who?
LaFlamboy, John
LaFlamboy. John LaFlamboy, okay. Basically, the idea is this. You can't scare everybody. There's some people that just can't be scared. There's some people that won't be scared by what you're offering. Blah, blah, blah. But you can entertain everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. People say that they go to haunted houses to be scared.
Mm-hmm.
That, oh, I'm going to haunt. I want to get scared tonight.
Right.
But what they really want is to be entertained.
Yeah.
They want the same thing from a haunt that they get from a movie, that they get from, you know, a good music, from any form of entertainment.
Right.
They want to be entertained. They want escapism. They want to be removed from their mundane life.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to be transported somewhere that's fun and exciting and different.
Yeah.
And haunts do that very, very well. So yeah, give them a show and make them happy.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Smiles are just as important as screams.
Yeah.
When people come out of our haunt and they're smiling and they're happy and they're laughing,
mm-hmm.
I'm just as happy about our job as when they come out still screaming and running.
Yeah.
I feel pretty much the same amount of joy.
Yeah. Well, and that laughing after exiting is relief.
Yeah.
They had a good time. They survived. And now they feel...
Over.
Like victors.
Yes.
You know, they conquered it.
But yeah, we're an entertainment business, though.
Yeah.
Be entertaining.
Yeah.
Don't try to traumatize people. Try to entertain people.
Yeah.
And I think that's something it's easy to lose sight of. Because we all love talking about making people pee or poo themselves.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It's all good fun games, so you got to mop it up.
Yeah.
Until it's your haunt, you got to mop it up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. First world haunt problems. But yeah, I mean, we love doing that. We love the scares. We love that. But the purpose of the scare is to entertain.
Yeah.
And we can entertain in multiple ways. And I think that's something that the really good haunts have figured out.
Yeah.
Is that you have to focus on being entertaining and really giving them an experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was something else Freaks of Fear did really well, for example, was they had the two clowns you talked to, and the ringmaster and the clown you talked to on the way in. There's a ringmaster and a clown. And they did the whole story about The clown, the circus got drunk and ran off into the woods, and and you got to go help find them, and you go look for them and all that. And they did a really good job telling the story, really good in character. It was entertaining as hell. That part wasn't very scary.
No.
But it sure as hell was entertaining.
Yeah, you remember it.
I remember it very well. You get these moments in Haunts where it's like, yeah, it may not have been scary, but it was fun.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
We should be encouraging that.
We should.
Okay, but that is our 10 habits of successful Haunts. Mm-hmm. So, you got any other habits I missed, Crystal?
No.
No, well, do you out there in listener land have any habits we missed? We probably did.
I'm sure we did.
I know we did. What habits did we miss? Let us know at Haunt Weekly on Twitter and Facebook. Maybe we'll do a follow-up. Yeah. Maybe we'll do 10 more. Like I said, there was a sequel to that book, right?
Yeah.
So therefore, we can do a sequel to this podcast. Them's rules.
Yeah.
That's equity. but yes, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. HauntWeekly.com is our website. And we are also at tinyurl.com/HauntWeekly. That is our YouTube channel. iTunes Podcast, Stitcher, Podomatic, We Love Podcast, Podgreen. I'm just not making up names.
Yeah,
none of these
yeah.
exist.
Yeah, I think we noticed.
Okay.
So somebody go
Pod by. Yeti! If Pod Yetis exist, they're going to sue me for trademark infringement. All right, but on that note, thank you very much for joining us and spending this past hour with us. I hope it was entertaining for you and useful. And until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And we will see you guys next week.